God's host. He's provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen indeed. If you reviewed the treasurer's report that we received at the last business meeting several weeks ago, you learned that for the first 6 months of our church year, the income was several thousand dollars less than the amount budgeted. Obviously, contributions have been less than the finance committee anticipated. So today, the subject of my message will be giving. It'll not be a doom and gloom sermon. Ephesus has experienced some shortfalls before and rebounded back heartily. I shall not be begging for contributions. I shall not be trying to guilt anyone into giving. But I have not preached on the subject of giving since I've been serving the Lord here at Ephesus. And I thought that this would be an appropriate time to refresh our memory as to what God's Word teaches regarding giving to Him. First, I want you to know that God is interested in our money. Not because he needs money. God certainly does not need anything. God is interested in our money because he knows that we need money to support ourselves and our families. And since we are so important to God, our money is important to God. He is interested in how we secure it, how we spend it, how we save it, and how we share it. Some people think that preaching about money is not spiritual. This statement, I think, shows a lack of biblical knowledge and maybe even a lack of spiritual insight. Nothing is more spiritual than how we handle our money. It is the supreme test of where our heart is. In Matthew, Jesus teaches us, for where our treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you do not like the pastor preaching about money, you would not have liked the preaching of Jesus. Jesus, when he walked this earth, told 36 parables, 16 of which involved our attitude toward money. There are more than 2,000 verses in God's holy word regarding money. And if God was not interested in our money, then he certainly wouldn't have included stories regarding money in the Holy Bible. Permit me to tell you a story regarding a handful of peanuts. Armadillo Obichi was born in 1876 in a small village near Venice, Italy. His widowed mother read him letters from his uncle who lived in America in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And Armadillo told everyone that would listen to him that he was going to America one day. By the time he was 11 years old, Armadillo's family had saved enough for an immigrant's ticket to America. So he set sail by himself, and since Armadillo could not speak any English, his destination of Scranton, Pennsylvania, was written on a label and placed through a buttonhole on his coat. However, en route on the train from Brooklyn, New York to Scranton, Pennsylvania, somehow he was misdirected and he got off the train in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And the people at the train station took him to a fruit stand owned by an Italian family who could translate for him and assist him. Subsequent to to that meeting with the family, Armadeo decided he wanted to live with them. They had offered to allow him to live with them and not live with his uncle in Scranton. The story is told regarding Armadeo and a handful of peanuts. The story states that Armadeo had no money to buy food on his 10-day journey across the ocean. So his mother prepared him a bag of lowly peanuts, goobers. And he ate those as he crossed the Atlantic. Soon after coming to America, he realized that Americans liked roasted peanuts just like he and his family did in Italy. So he found a place to plant the handful of peanuts that he had left from his journey. And while the peanuts were growing, Armadeo saved enough money to buy a horse and wagon. And during this time, he developed his own method of roasting and blanching peanuts, which allowed them to come out without any skin on them whatsoever. And he continued this as part of his work ethic for a number of years. And he called himself the peanut specialist. And he was selling these roasted peanuts from his wagon. As a young man, this went on for approximately 10 or 12 years. And as a young man in his early 20s, he and a friend founded Planters Peanuts, which became headquarters in Suffolk, Virginia. And while there working, Armadeo became a wealthy, wealthy man. And he established a trust fund and gave to the city of Suffolk the Louise Obeachy Hospital as a gift, named after his deceased wife. Armadeo had only a handful of peanuts. Yet he had the choice as to what to do with those peanuts. He could have eaten them. He could have sold them in order to earn some money. But he wisely chose to plant what he had. And in time, he would have enough to give away, to sell, and to also to eat if he so desired. Now, I don't know if Armadeo Obeachy was familiar with the law of the harvest or not, but he certainly practiced it. And today I want us to look for a text at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15, which includes or mentions the law of the harvest. So I invite you to follow along as I read from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have provided yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. Like Armadale, we have choices to make regarding what we have. Our peanuts, if you will. We may eat our peanuts and they will be delicious for a few moments, but then they shall all be gone. We may just hide them and keep them, planning to eat them at a later time. We also have the choice to divide them. We could eat some and we could sell some. Certainly we need to all eat and we need to pay for our basic necessities. And we might even share some with others. But the wisest choice we could make would be to give the first 10% of any assets we receive to God, knowing that he will honor our tithe and bless what we have left. The biblical practice of tithing is connected to the Old Testament covenant that God made with Abraham, and that the tithe is continued by Christ in the New Testament under the covenant of forgiveness and grace. And under the new covenant of grace, when we are saved, we give ourselves and all that we possess to God. And when we say Jesus is our Lord, it means that we should consult him regarding everything that we should give to God, not just a 10% tithe. So when we are considering giving to the church, Jesus, how much he wants us to give. The tithe is the minimum that every child of God should return to him. An offering over and above that is often necessary to conduct the mission work here on earth to expand God's kingdom. So in addition to a tithe, occasionally we need to make an offering to God's work here. The law of the harvest has three components: the principle, the practice, and the produce or harvest. First is the principle of the law of the harvest. The principle of the law of the harvest is contained in verse 6 of our text, and it can be summarized in 8 words: plant little, harvest little. Plant much, harvest much. If you invest a small amount, you can expect to receive a small amount in return. The principle is expressed, as we probably are more familiar with, is you reap what you sow. And this principle will work with any human resource, our time, our talents, and our tithe. And there are three axioms that go along with the principle of sowing and reaping. First, you always reap what you sow. If you want beans and plant pea seeds, you're not going to harvest beans. You're going to harvest the peas. If you desire high-grade peanuts, you need to plant high-grade seed peanuts. If you want God's best blessings, then you have to give him your best. In just about every prayer, we ask God to bless us. We thank him for his blessings, and then we ask him to bless us. But yet, how many of you know that we determine how much God will bless us? Jesus told us in the Gospel of Luke how God the Father decides to measure our blessings. He said, "Give and it will be given to you, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Invest the amount and type of seed and faith offering in God's work which you need back from Him. If you need money, honor God with your tithe even when you don't think you can afford it. Because Jesus promises that first you seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. The second axiom regarding the giving principle is the sowing and reaping principle is you always reap more than you sow. You plant one peanut and it will develop into a bush or plant with many, many peanuts on it. You plant seed corn and you will have a stalk with two or three ears on it that will have hundreds of grains of corn. You give $1 to advance God's kingdom, and it can result in thousands of blessings upon you. One life lived for God can influence hundreds, even thousands, to imitate such a life. The third axiom is you always reap later than you sow. Sometimes we forget that. It's the old "we want it now" principle. But sowing and reaping don't happen on the same day. It may take months or years to see your harvest. You may not see all of it until you enter heaven. Well, many of you maybe say, "Well, I have been tithing. I have been struggling to make my tithe, and I have yet to catch up on all my bills." I advise you, please don't give up. Sowing calls for patience, and faith is the principle of the harvest. It will work if you but have that faith. In Malachi 3:10, God challenges us to test Him by returning all our tithes to the storehouse, or to the church, if you will. And if we do so, He will open the floodgates of heaven and pour out more blessings than we can handle. Understand that all of our blessings may not be in the form of material things. Too often we think of God blessing us by an increase of money that comes into our possession, an increase of material things, an increase of stuff. But not all blessings are in the form of material things. Also, God does not provide a timetable for those blessings. He will pour out His blessings in His time when it is in our best interest. But God would not issue this challenge, number one, if He didn't want us to accept it, and number two, if He was not willing to fulfill and honor the challenge by blessing us in more ways than we can imagine. So what do we do if we are tithing and still experiencing financial problems? We should pray to determine if there is another lesson that God wants us to learn. Have we given God 100% of our resources? Have we said, "God, use me. Use my talent. Use my time. Use my tithe"? Are we willing to give more than 10% if God instructs us to do so? Are we giving for the wrong reasons just to receive a blessing from God? We know that we can't fool God, so we're wasting our time if our heart is not right when we give. Is there another area of our life that God desires for us to commit to Him? These are questions that we need to ask ourselves when we are not receiving a blessing from our tithing, our giving. Then when our motive for giving is pure, what do we do while waiting for God to provide the relief? We keep on planting. We keep on investing. We sow more seed. Farmers stagger their planting in order to have a continual harvest. So we must keep investing and keep trusting, because all that we invest will be growing interest that will come back to us when God lets the payback begin to flow. Second component of the law of the harvest is the practice. And we looked at that in verse 7. And this teaches us how to use the principle of the harvest. Do you know how farmers decide what they need to plant? They just don't go down to the feed store and say, well, I think maybe give me two 50-pound bags of seed, or maybe 120. They plan. They decide how much crop they want to harvest, how much equipment they have, how much labor they have that allows them to handle a certain size crop. And so they have a plan. It's not a haphazard thing. Here are some practical suggestions for giving. One, give generously. If you wish to produce a large crop, you must invest a lot. Give cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. Thank God for the ability to give, because you know He will repay you many times more than what you have invested. Give prayerfully. Ask God how much His work needs and what your responsible share would be, whether it be your time, talent, or your finances. Ask God. He will guide you in the decision to make. What type of crop may we expect? That's the third component of the law of the harvest. What will be the produce or the harvest of the crop? Verses 8 through 15 considers the harvest. What crop will be yielded? How big will the harvest be? What type of crop may we expect if we plant a handful of peanuts in God's field? In these last verses 8 through 15, God impresses upon us that we cannot outgive Him. He does not need our gifts. He owns everything. We need to learn to turn loose our material possessions, learn to obey God, and then we shall learn how He can be trusted to provide us a super abundant harvest at the time that it is designated by Him for us to receive the harvest. Look at the benefits that we receive from this promise from God. The benefits to you and me will be increased seed and harvest. The benefit to others will be our faith, from our faithful giving, will be that they'll be blessed by our generosity. They will praise God and they will pray for us. Even God benefits when we give. He receives thanksgiving and praise from those to whom we are generous and give. And that includes the church, because the church as a corporate body can usually touch more people than a single individual. So when we give our gifts to the church, God recognizes that we are participating in the sowing of seed that will produce a harvest later on, a harvest that will benefit others, and they will end up praising Him. The harvest we reap will be in direct proportion to how much we plant. Now, to apply what God's Word has taught us I want us to decide what she will do with the peanuts that we have. And of course, we're talking about our assets. All of our assets, time, talents, and tithe come from God. And all of them must be planted somewhere to grow. If you're a good teacher, if you don't utilize that talent for God and accept an assignment to teach a Sunday school or a Bible study or whatever may be, that gift will not grow. If you don't invest your money in God's church, then you can't expect it to grow, to be used, and to be returned to you many times over. The most foolish action we could take with our peanuts would be to hide them, to keep them all and hide them. We could give them all to God, but I don't think that would be very practical. I don't think He would expect us to do that unless we had some other means of support for ourselves and our families to pay our bills and to live. What we must do is prayerfully give ourselves to God. Ask Jesus to save you if you're not saved. Then let in your peanuts represent your life and your possessions. And ask God how He wants you to divide them and to use them to serve Him. We have tremendous opportunity here in this community to witness to others through an outreach by this congregation, by this body of believers, by these assets with which God has blessed us. Let's don't let that opportunity slip by and reach the time of harvest and reap less than we sow. God loves a cheerful giver, and we will be blessed with the harvest in relation to what we sow. And if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, as I said, and you want Him to use you and your assets to further His kingdom so that you can be blessed and be a part of that kingdom for eternity, we invite you to come forward and accept Him as your Lord and Savior as we sing a hymn of invitation, number 326, All on the Altar.